Welcome back to the Date Night Podcast. My name is Pastor Chad Harold, and I am thrilled you are joining us today. Today, we're going to begin a new series called How to Fight Fair in Marriage, which will help us as husbands and as wives work together on how to handle conflict well in marriage. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this message from our current Date Night series at Second Baptist Church.
Let's jump in. I want to talk today about, start kind of a little mini series talking about fighting fair. Now, the truth is, all of us in marriage have conflict. We have fights, right? Can we all agree? Okay, if you say no, then that's called lying, and it's okay, but we're in church. God's gracious, and he'll forgive you. But the truth is, the reason we fight is because of a few things. It's our personality, it's our difference in personality, it's our difference just in how we're wired as men and women, it's our differences in opinion, it's stress, it's schedule, it's all these different things. And so you never really can pinpoint just one thing that leads to fights, but what we can do is try to get a better grip, if you will, on how to do them well. Because the truth is, fighting is actually a good thing. Now, let's be careful. We're not talking about knockdown dragouts where you're yelling as someone's driving down the driveway. That's probably unhealthy and you should seek counseling, and that's not what this is for. But the truth is, having fights, having conflict helps us to bring things up. It helps us to resolve issues that may not come up. Now, it's interesting. There's actually two types of fighters in a marriage, typically. Okay, it's a little generic, but typically. The first type is the one that doesn't like it. Where are those people at? Can I see you raise your hand? You don't like conflict, right? So you say, all right, he didn't take the trash out again. But I don't want to say anything because he might get upset, or I just don't even want to bring it up. And so you avoid conflict, right? And what happens if you're not careful is instead of saying it, you let it build up inside. And so you get angry. You could even get bitter, resentful. And it's a problem, right? But then there's another type, all right?
Ladies and gentlemen.
And this type, it's kind of like when a fight gets started, you're ready to go, right? You're not worried about it. You say, you didn't take out the trash? Let me tell you something. I'm going to show you right now how to take out the trash. You didn't pick up the kids on time? We got an issue, but I'm going to tell you all about it. You put your laundry on the floor, not in the basket? Let me tell you what we're going to do. So some of us, all right, you cut the music. Some of us, we like the fight. Now, the truth is, if we like the fight too much, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. Because what we start to do, we start to run over our spouse. We start to frustrate them because they feel like they never get a chance to actually say what they're thinking or what they're feeling because they're outweighed by you. And then sometimes, we can be honest, sometimes we're just rude. And our aggressiveness, sometimes in our personality, we're so strong-willed and our personalities can be so strong that we can overtake our spouse. And then all of a sudden, the fight went from possibility of bringing good things out to something that's negative. In fact, it would be categorized as a bad fight. So understanding that there's really two types of us, it can be really helpful. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at how to fight fair in marriage. There is a little note sheet on your table. If one of you want to take notes, you don't have to do that, but I always like to mention that. So that's available for you. Now, what you'll notice up here is we've got a little bit of a boxing ring. Did you see that? We didn't forget the other side. It was so that you could see me. Okay, so relax. But you'll notice in a boxing ring, I think it's interesting. I started thinking about the series, and obviously it's about fighting, and I thought, well, I'm not the biggest boxing fan, but I think this works for what we're trying to accomplish. So I started thinking about the elements of a boxing ring, and it started to dawn on me that this is actually really helpful for marriage. So check this out. First thing in a boxing ring or in a match, well, actually, let me back up a second. If you're in a boxing fight, the point of a fight is to destroy each other. Okay, but if you're in a boxing sparring match, a practice sparring, you're actually not there to destroy each other. You're actually there to help develop each other. And so even though we'll use fighting throughout our series, I do want you to know that analogies fall apart. If you're a teacher, you totally understand how this happens. So really, we're thinking more about a sparring match with our partner, because what we want to do is we want to develop each other. We want to bring out the best. And so I started thinking about this, and I thought, okay, first of all, in a ring, right, there's a location that's been set aside for the fight to happen. That's good for us, isn't it? there are some places that are probably not best for us to go toe-to-toe, right, in front of the whole world or in front of our table in a few minutes when we get into discussion, right? Might not be the best place to just call your spouse out and lay it down on the table right there. So maybe in the car, on the ride home, might be a better place for you to talk about some of those tougher issues. So I thought about the ring and I thought, man, that's helpful because our location matters. Then I started thinking about rules. Do you ever think about this? There's rules in every sport, in every game that you play, in every boxing match. In fact, it's interesting, up until the 1800s, boxing actually didn't have rules. It was a free-for-all, and then finally a guy by the last name of Queensberry stepped in and said, we need to lay some rules down because this is getting out of hand. People are actually dying, and from that moment on, boxing became a thing that had rules. And so if you think about it, where's the one place that we don't have rules in a fight? Oftentimes, it's in our marriages. We don't set some kind of guideline. Hey, here's the things we want to be careful of when we have a conflict or a disagreement. We want to keep these things in mind so that we don't trample each other or disrespect each other or lose the positive effect that could happen through fighting and through conflict. And then I started thinking about a referee. Wouldn't it be nice if we all just had a referee at certain times when we got into a spout? Don't look at your spouse right now. It's okay. Save that for later in the car ride home. But the truth is, it'd be so great if there was just a referee right around the corner that could come in and say, hey, you're doing this wrong, you're right, and you're like, I told you, right? Now, the truth is, we don't always have a referee. There could be people like that, a counselor, a pastor, maybe a mentor couple, maybe even a table host couple like you have that could help intervene. But the point of a referee is not to take sides. The point of the referee is to help you stay within the fair guidelines so that it could be a fair fight. And then I started thinking about the gloves, because let's be honest, when the gloves come off, people get hurt. And some of us fight like that. We have no guidelines, we have no rules, there are no gloves, it is bare knuckle, fist to fist, we are gonna go toe to toe until we figure this out. And even though it can be helpful at times, often it leads to destructive behavior that ends up affecting the marriage in the long run. So I thought the boxing analogy just fits so well with what we want to talk about as couples. Now, let's look at this. First thing I want to show you, not all fights are equal. There is such thing as a bad fight versus a good fight. Now, I want you to look at this chart for a second. Now, up here behind me, what you're going to see is two different types of fighting, a bad fight versus a good fight. Now, I won't read the whole thing to you, and we'll put this up online a little bit later so you can have a reference point. But let's look at a couple of these. Let's say you get into a tussle with your spouse over fill in the blank. Maybe it's finances, maybe it's home things, maybe it's with kids, maybe it's with work, responsibilities, whatever it might be. The difference between the two fights can look like this. Let's look at the goal. Is your goal in the fight to win or to resolve the conflict? Let's look at the topic. Is it surface issues that you're covering, or is it the underlying issues, right? How often do we fight about something so simple, but it really didn't solve the problem because the real problem was something below the surface that we didn't get to? A good fight helps us get to the underlying issues rather than looking just at the surface level ones. Let's go down to motivation. Are we just shifting blame? Are we in a place where we take responsibility? We'll look at that a little bit more in a minute. And then finally, look at the result. Did that fight lead to more discord, or did it lead to harmony? Now, here's what's interesting. For a lot of us, these are so simple of principles that we're talking about. And yet, if we were honest and we think back maybe even on the last fight or conflict that we had, it's very possible that we leaned more to a bad fight than a good fight. The reason we fight is because, truthfully, deep down inside, we care about whatever it is that we're fighting about. We care so much about that thing or that person that we want to bring it up. But sometimes we need help in figuring out how to do that well. So what I want to share with you tonight is just four quick principles, four critical elements of a good fight. So four simple things. It actually makes the picture of core, C-O-R-E. Here's the core of a good fight. Number one, cooperation. Cooperation. Good fighters fight for a win-win. Right? It's not about me winning. It's about us coming to a resolution. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes that's easier said than done, depending on the topic in which we're fighting about. Sometimes we have to win. We want to win because we're so confident that we're right. But to do fighting well, to be successful in handling conflict, we have to approach it in a way that how can we both win by still solving the issue? By the way, Sarah and I, I don't say we don't fight a lot so that you can look at us. We don't fight a lot for one reason. It's because my wife is kind, compassionate, and patient. And very early in our marriage, I realized that I was not kind, compassionate, or patient. And I found myself just running her over. And I realized this is not right. This isn't good. And even though all throughout my life, all I ever did was fight with people because I'm kind of the guy that maybe likes to fight a little bit more than not, I realized very quickly with Sarah that that was not working, that it wasn't good for her as a daughter of God, as my wife, or as a daughter or sister of others, but it also wasn't helpful for our marriage. So she, by being patient, compassionate, and kind, help me change and realize I cannot approach things in this way. So we don't fight as much as I think we would have if I was in control, but by her leading the way, that's helped us to pull back. But the point is, it's cooperation. It's coming together to say, look, we got an issue and you're upset or I'm upset, but that's not the point. We've got to figure out a solution. Something you can look for is, do you use the word you or do you use the word we? Is it you did this, you did that, you forgot this, you keep, or is it, hey, look, we need to figure out this. We should talk about this. We keep running into this same challenge, this same issue. Let's navigate that together. That begins to help us decipher between the two. But the truth is sometimes, there will be fights that we just can't come to an agreement on. And then the good old phrase that says we agree to disagree may very well be something that happens in that moment. But the point is, it's not about who can win. It's about how can we resolve. So cooperation. Here's number two, ownership. Good fighters own their piece of the pie. Oftentimes we play the blame game. Well, if you would have done this, then this wouldn't have happened. If you would have handled our finances well, we wouldn't have been in this mess. And what we're doing is when we're shifting blame, we're actually just shifting responsibility. And we're taking ourselves out of the equation rather than stepping in to say, how can we come together and work this out together? So we want to look at cooperation, but we also want to look at ownership. And if you think about in a boxing ring, to go back to the boxing analogy, when someone throws a punch, oftentimes what they'll do is block. And if we wanted to translate that for a couple going through a conflict or a fight, that block might look like excuses. Here's an excuse, here's an excuse, here's an excuse. Or we respond like they would in a fight with a counterpunch. But that counterpunch is usually more of a low blow. It may look like this. We wouldn't be in this mess if you would have handled our finances better. Here comes the counterpunch. If you want to talk to me about finances, why don't we talk about the shopping spree that you just went on last weekend? See how that works? So we had an excuse that then turned into a counterpunch, but all we did was continue to go the wrong direction because all we've got to do is figure out where the issue is so that we can resolve it together. So it starts with cooperation, then it moves to ownership, but then it leads to respect. Good fighters steer clear of belittling each other. Now, this is an interesting one because some couples do this so naturally, and sometimes we have such thick skin that it becomes a normal practice within a marriage. But over time, and some of our seasoned couples here can confirm this, over time, belittling will always be destructive, even though maybe early on you got away with it. What does it look like? Well, it's little phrases like, oh, way to go, Einstein, you're a real genius. Things like that, where you're belittling them, you're disrespecting them, but you said it just as a fun little comment, you threw it out there, but the truth is, it was weighted because you meant it. You didn't mean it to harm, but you wanted to say what you thought. And over time, the more we belittle, the more we disrespect each other, things begin to fall apart. When we respect each other, it leads to talking. By respecting each other, it opens up the door for us to have a bridge to want to communicate. Think about it. If someone made a smart aleck comment like that to you, would you want to talk to them? Probably not. Usually you're going, oh, okay, wow, that was rude. Okay, see if we ever talk again, right? That's the mindset. Imagine if that's your spouse. all we're doing is putting more and more separation, more and more separation. So we want to keep respect at the forefront within this, because if we don't, it becomes toxic. It's interesting to think about, if you've ever done martial arts or ever have any kids that are a part of martial arts, every time they have an official fight or a match, they always start with a bow and they always end with a bow, right? The bow is what? The bow is respect. Every good fight starts and ends with a bow. Every good fight starts and ends with respect. We want to be careful that we don't belittle. So we have cooperation, ownership, respect, and then finally, empathy. Empathy. Good fighters step into each other's shoes. Someone said that if there was a button that a couple could hit to immediately have more improvement in their marriage, a better marriage, the button would be empathy. If you could hit any button to get anything to make your marriage better, it would be an abundance of empathy. Why? Because empathy is us understanding how our spouse sees the world. When we don't have empathy, we cause separation between you and the spouse. Empathy is probably one of the most neglected things in marriages. That may not be for everyone, but for most of us. Having empathy, trying to see things the way that they see it so that we can help understand why they feel the way they feel, why they want the things that they want. Empathy is the root of helping couples come together rather than to split apart. It's things like, I simply don't understand him. I have no idea why she does what she does. These are the kind of things that we're not looking through the lens of our spouse, but instead we're making these comments that are causing more and more separation, even if it is just within us. Philippians 2, 1 through 3 says this, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Now that was written to the church, written for believers, but that is easily translated to all of us in our marriages. I think a way for us to look at it is like this. Let's imagine that tonight, just for fun, we're all going to have a little dispute, all right? Just for fun, just kidding. Don't actually do that, but I'm just saying. Let's just say we all got in a dispute. So we're standing, don't ever use your fist. That's not what we're not advocating that in any way. It's a symbolism, our analogy. But let's say you're standing toe-to-toe with, let's just get the fist away. You're standing toe-to-toe with your spouse. Here's this conflict in the center that you want to solve. What I want you to think about, and this is what I'm going to try to think about. Sarah, you can hold me to this. I want to think about looking in a window rather than a mirror. Okay? When I'm looking in a mirror, I'm thinking about myself. I'm thinking about how I feel. I'm thinking about what's frustrating me. I think about what he or she did. And all I'm focusing on is how can I get what I need or what I want to see change. But if I look through the window rather than the mirror, I begin to look across and see my wife or my husband, for who those of you in the room. I see my wife. I say, okay, she's upset about something. I could be angry that she called me out and I could be angry, but I want to come to a solution. I want to have empathy. I want to solve this problem because that is a daughter of God. That is the wife that God has graciously given to me, or the husband that God has graciously given to me. And we owe it to ourselves, to our families, to maybe our kids, and to our Heavenly Father God to solve this in a way that benefits both of us. Do you remember, for those of you that have been around for a while, we've talked about the covering, the transition of the covering that happens for believers when we get married. When you were growing up, you were under the covering of your parents. Your parents took care of you. Your father protected and provided. Your mother nurtured and loved. And all that was happening as you were growing up. But then when you got married, you stepped out from under the umbrella of your parents. And now you're under the umbrella of each other. Well, guess what? That same idea carries over into our conflicts. Conflicts are a great thing because they bring things out. They make us stronger. They help us not hold stuff in that makes us bitter or resentful. But at the same time, it requires us to humble ourselves,
to put pride aside, to have empathy for each other, to have cooperation, to take ownership, to give respect, and to ensure that we work together to come to the resolution that we need to have. What's interesting is the enemy loves nothing more than to see our conflicts separate us more and more. For some of us, it's little conflicts that brew and brew and brew until next thing we know, we're looking at a massive problem but had deep underlying issues that have been happening for a while. The enemy wants to separate, but God desires for us to have unity and to come together. So as we begin this journey, I want you to keep that in mind, the core principles of a healthy fight, of a good fight. And then as we go forward, we'll begin to look at some rules that can help us kind of stay within the guidelines so we don't harm each other, but rather help each other as we navigate this principle.